2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. We'll read through the rest of the chapter, Lord willing. Last week we saw Paul making a defense for his character and trying to get the people of Corinth to listen to him and to follow him and to pay attention to the example that he has left and not be led astray by other false teachers or people who may be leading them in the wrong direction. That's what we saw in the passage last week. Tonight we will start in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Let's pray and we'll get started. God, we come to you and I pray, God, that your words tonight, we would take them to heart, that we would learn from them, that we would grow from them, dear Lord, that we would pay attention to them, dear Lord, that we would make good decisions in our life. And any kind of relationships we build, dear Lord, we desire that they would be good relationships, and we desire, God, that our relationship to you would be a strong and a good relationship, God. So I pray that you would just help us as we look at these words. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us, that you would hide me behind the cross as I preach and teach, that everything that is done will be for your glory, that you'd be with these words tonight. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be mismatched with unbelievers. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Now, some of your translations may say some language that maybe you've heard before. Do not be unequally yoked. That's something that we've probably heard. Mine says do not be mismatched with unbelievers. But that's what it means there. He's talking about being unequally yoked or being connected, a believer to an unbeliever, in some relationship, in some partnership, and in some way in which it is going to be unhealthy. Now, a lot of times these verses are used in relation to marriage. Now, he's not really talking about marriage here. That'd be a little out of the context of what he's saying. But nevertheless, it does fit because marriage is a pretty important partnership. It's something that you're making a covenant with another person. And so his point here being is that as believers, we need to be careful that we are not unequally yoked or that we are not mismatched or that we do not enter into any kind of partnership, so to speak, with an unbeliever. That comes with a lot of difficulties. Now, I like that translation, unequally yoked, because it gives us some good imagery there. A yoke is something that is placed on animals, probably a couple of animals side by side, and they're going to work together to pull something usually. And you need animals that are about the same size and about the same strength. You wouldn't have a big old ox and a small donkey. You wouldn't yoke those two things together. One is going to be much stronger than the other. It just wouldn't work out. But you need both things to be kind of the same, so that they can pull together equally in the same direction. And there won't be any tension on the yoke. There won't be any tension on the parties that are connected. But things will go smoothly. Well, as Christians, when we are unequally yoked, that is to say, if we are a Christian and we are in a relationship, be it a marriage or a business relationship or whatever it is, with an unbeliever, that's going to cause tension. Why is that? Well, as a Christian, we hold the Word of God to be true. We want to live by the commands of God. But for an unbeliever, they're not held to that same standard. They don't live by that same standard. They don't care what God's Word says. They don't care about the commands of God. And so while you may want to do right in the relationship, somebody else may not have trouble cheating or causing troubles. Let's say you enter into a business relationship with somebody. Say you and a buddy want to open a donut shop. Well, ain't nothing wrong with opening a donut shop, but if you want to run that donut shop with Christian ideals and in a Christian way and to try to do right and to try to be fair, but your partner who is an unbeliever, is really just greedy and want to make money and don't care about the employees and don't care about sticking it to the customers and don't care about the product, just whatever they got to do to get whatever money they can out of the business, well, then your values there are different. Now, that's just in business. That's a good lesson here we need to pay attention to. We need to be careful who we go in business with. We need to, I think sometimes maybe we just look at this passage and we just always equate it with marriage, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I think that this expands far beyond marriage with all of our relationships. If we're gonna get involved with somebody, there's going to be tension there if both of you aren't pulling in the same direction. So Paul says, do not be unequally yoked. You don't want to be a righteous person and a lawless person. Boy, they're going to clash. The lightness and darkness. It's not, those two things. They have opposing ideas, opposing desires. Darkness wants things that are evil. Light wants things that are beautiful. And so you can't have this opposition and this tension in your life. And he said, this is what it's like between a believer and an unbeliever. He even says of Christ. He says, what agreement does Christ have with Belial? Now, that's a word that's hard to really know exactly what it means. Some have said it means Satan, and maybe it does, or maybe it just means some evil spirit or a demon of Satan or an antichrist. You'll find different words there. But it doesn't matter which one of those it means. It means that there is Christ who's pulling in the right direction, and there is some other force that's anti what Jesus Christ wants, that's pulling in the opposite direction. And so those two things aren't in agreement. Those two things can't hang out. Those two things can't be in a partnership together. Those two things can't be in an agreement, in a relationship together. And Paul says that's what it's like for believers, that we need to be careful that we are not mismatched with unbelievers, that we are not unequally yoked. Now, this is certainly important in regards to marriage. We look at one aspect of it, business or whatever other relationships, but even though he's not speaking directly of marriage here, there is no doubt that this is applicable for us. If you're not married, young folks, when you get married, you need to find a man, in y'all's case, or for young men, need to find a woman that is a Christian man or a Christian woman with the same values. And so many times people will say, oh, well, he's a good person or she's a good person. And yeah, they don't believe in God, but they don't hate God, or they're not opposed to God, or they're not evil. But the fact of the matter is this, is those who are not in Christ do not have the same values and the same morals and the same ideas and the same thoughts as you do. So no matter how cute the boy may be or how hot the girl may be or whatever it is, you don't want to enter into a relationship where the foundation of what's important, which is Jesus Christ, is not there. And so Paul would say, look, if you're a believer, you need to be aware of the relationships that you're entering into and the commitments that you are making. And you want to make sure that you are in relationship with other Christians so that you have the same values. And those values, first and foremost, are serving the Lord, that all glory would go to the Lord, that you love the Lord and you love the other people, and everything else can come after that. But if your main concern with your partner is they're worried about greed and money and success, and you're worried about using the business to glorify God, well, maybe your business glorifying God will be very successful. It may very well be. But your focus can't be on the things of the world. It has to be on God, and God will sort the rest of it out. So Paul says, look, don't be one who is unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Verse 16, and what agreement does God's sanctuary have with idols? For we of the are the sanctuary of the living God, as God said, I will dwell among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, what was the problem that we see in the Old Testament? Here he's fixing to quote several Old Testament passages, kind of allude to several different ones in these next couple of verses. But we see a big problem in the Old Testament, and that is God delivered his people. It is God who had established Abraham and brought forth the nation of Israel from Abraham. It was God who had provided all of their needs. It was God who had brought them out of slavery. It was God who provided their food. It was God who fought their battles. It was God who gave them everything that they ever needed and wanted. God was their God. and they were to be his people. They were a people who were set apart. They were unlike any other people in the rest of the world. There were lots of people in the world, and no doubt they worshiped lots of other gods. You can look at Egypt. They had plenty of other gods. But God said, I'm making a people that I'm going to set apart that will be my people to seek me and to live for me. And I will take care of them, and they will follow me, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And that's what God called his people in the Old Testament to. But what was their problem? Well, those idols were mighty tempting. Now, you may remember it wasn't long after God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and Moses was up on the mountain, and the people started complaining, where is this Moses who brought us out of Egypt? We need a God. And so they got their gold, they melted it down into a calf, and what did they say? They said, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. This calf that they had just made with their hands. Now, they made a God out of their hands, but they failed to realize that a God had delivered them, that had made them with his very voice. Now, what do we want in our life? Do we want a God that we have made, or do we want a God who has made us? And so there's that temptation of idolatry. Now, we're not turning any gold calves, probably, but are there things that we turn to in life that become our God? There may be. Maybe it's our money. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's fame. Maybe it's popularity. Maybe it's our success. Whatever it may be, there may be these things in our life that we begin to depend on. Now, we may not say, this is my God who has delivered me. We probably don't open up our safes every night and look at our piles of money and say, this is the God who has delivered me. We may not say those same type of words that the people of Israel said. Doesn't matter if we say the words, what about our heart? Is our heart focused on the things of this world, saying, oh, this is the thing that is delivered. This is what I'm going to. When times are hard, what do you go to? Do you go to the Bible or do you go to the bottle? These are the types of things that we struggle with. We may not make the golden calf, but what do we run to in times of trouble? Well, maybe the answer to who our God is or what our God is can be found by answering that question. But what does Paul say here? He says, and what agreement does God's sanctuary have with idols? Okay, if we are the sanctuary of God, if God dwells among us and he is to be our God and we are to be his people, then what kind of relationship should we have with idols? It should be zero. We shouldn't have any relationship with idols. You can't worship God and worship idols at the same time. It's not possible. You cannot worship two gods. Now, if we say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a sanctuary of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Well, how can we say that in one breath and then worship our idols in the next breath? It doesn't line up. It doesn't work that way. What Paul wants his people to do here is to get rid of those things, to separate themselves from the things of the world to God. That there's all these temptations, that whatever teachings are going on there that are pulling them away from Jesus Christ, Paul says, look, you need to pay attention to what's going on here, and you don't need to give in to all of these different idols. These unbelievers that you've been hanging out with, you better be careful of the company that you're hanging out with, because they will pull you from God. And that's true in our life. We have to be careful of the company that we hang out with. Now, is Paul here, when he says don't be mismatched or unequally yoked, is he saying that we're not to have any relationship at all with somebody that's an unbeliever? Well, I don't think that's what he's saying, but we do have to be careful. Those closest relationships in our life, when it comes to marriage and business relationships or other really close relationships, we have to guard those. We have to be careful who's influencing us and who we're paying attention to in our times of trouble. Whose advice are we taking? Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I believe it's in chapter 6, maybe chapter 5, I don't recall. But he had wrote to them, obviously, at some point, and had talked to them about associating with unbelievers. And they had misunderstood what he was saying. They had taken it appears, to mean that he was saying, don't associate with any unbelievers. But then he goes back and he clarifies what he says. He says, look, I gave you a list of some people to avoid. He said, I'm not saying avoid all these sinners, all these unbelievers. He says, what I'm telling you is, you need to be careful of those who profess to be Christians and are doing all of these sinful acts. He said, those are the ones that you need to be aware of. He said, don't avoid sinners. If we avoided sinners, how would we ever be able to reach anybody for the gospel? But he says, look, I'm not telling you to avoid everybody who's a sinner, but I am telling you to be careful around those who claim to be Christian and are living in the sins of the world. So I don't think Paul's advice here when he says do not be unequally yoked or mismatched, I don't think it's just a blanket statement of, hey, you don't associate with any unbelievers at all. But he's saying your closest relationships, you need to be careful of what's going on in those things. So who do we take advice from? Well, we want to make sure we're taking advice from good Christian men and women. First, we want to seek God. We want to seek God's word. And we want to seek brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't want to get advice from an unbeliever because they're not going to give us the same type of advice that God's word would give us always. Maybe sometimes they will. But maybe if we're honest, maybe sometimes we do want the advice of the unbeliever because maybe they're going to tell us what we want to hear. Because sometimes in our evil hearts, we want to do the wrong thing. And we just need somebody to justify it for us. We want to be mad at somebody, and maybe we ask a brother or sister in Christ and they say, hey, you know what? Jesus says you need to love that person and pray for them. Maybe we don't want to love them and pray for them. Maybe we want to be bad at them. So we go ask Jim Bob down there that we work with because we know he don't care nothing about the Word of God. And we ask him what we should do because we know he's going to say, you ought to go pop him in the nose. And so sometimes maybe we don't want to seek the advice of believers. Maybe we want to seek the advice of unbelievers. That's not a good place to be. So we need to be careful of who we surround ourselves with. And that's what Paul is saying here. You need to be careful who you surround yourself with, especially who you marry and who you have close relationships with. And you need to remember that you are a sanctuary of God. So you can't have it both ways. You can't live for God on Sunday and live for the devil Monday through Saturday. And Lord knows there's plenty of people that try that, probably some of us even in our life. But there's no blessing in that. There's no joy in that. And so Paul says you need to remember that you are the sanctuary of God, that you are God's people, and He needs to be your God. Therefore, verse 17, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch any unclean thing, and I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Now this is a quotation in verse 17 here. This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 52. Now, at that time, the people were in Babylonian captivity. And God was saying, you need to come out from there. He was going to deliver them. He was going to bring them out, and He did. And His word has come out from all the uncleanliness and all this evil. You need to separate yourself, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. So as Christians, we need to separate ourselves from the world. We need to be able to look different from all of the rest of the people in the world. If we're in a lineup and people can look at us in that lineup and imagine they could see all the things you do and the way you live, well, would the things that you do and the way that you live, would that stand out any way possible from an unbeliever? Would that look any different? Or if people look at you, do you just look like all the rest of the unbelievers in the world? And so we need to be separate. We need to pull ourselves out. There needs to be something different in our life, something that's more attractive than what the world has to offer. Chapter 7. Therefore, dear friends, since we have such promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every impurity of the flesh and spirit, completing our sanctification in the fear of God. So he gives them this instruction. You don't need to hang. You need to watch who you're going to hang out with. You need to remember that you are God's people, that He has promised to be your God, and you are going to be His people, and you need to separate yourself from the things of the world, and you need to live for God, and you need to focus on Him, and you need to trust Him, and you need to look at the promises of God. And that's what he says in chapter 7. Since we have such promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every impurity. Well, that's good instruction for us. There's very likely some impurity in our life. There's probably some sin there. Some things we shouldn't do, some things we shouldn't say. Maybe our thoughts aren't always good. Maybe our attitudes aren't always good. There may just be areas in our life that sometimes need to be corrected. And God's Word is good at that. The Holy Spirit is good at that, of convicting us. And so he says here, look, we have the promises of God, and we need to live on the promises of God. We need to live for God and not for the things of the world. So let us cleanse ourselves from every impurity. And then at the end of the verse there, he says, completing our sanctification in the fear of God. That fear of God, we talked about that Sunday. That should be a powerful motivation. If we fear God, then we should seek to live by His commands. It talks about sanctification. What does that mean? That's the idea of being set apart. Remember, he just called them that you needed to be separate from the rest of those people. He recalled that passage from Isaiah, from the Babylonians, that they were among a sinful people and they needed to be separate. They were God's people. They needed to separate themselves. We as God people, we need to separate ourselves. We need to be set apart. We don't want to live like the world. We are to be set apart because we are God's people. And so this idea of being sanctified, set apart, to be made holy. Now, some Christians would argue that you can reach a full sanctification in this life, that you can be perfectly holy in this life, and as a result, you can be perfect. Now, I would disagree with that. I don't think that we can be fully sanctified in this life. I think we will reach a full sanctification in the presence of God, but I think in this life, we're probably just going to struggle. There's always going to be those temptations. There's always going to be those failures. It would be great if we could go a day, a week, a month without sinning, but that has not become a reality in my life. So I won't say that you can't be fully sanctified. I'll say that I'm not, and I'll say that it's probably a difficult process. But we need to be those that are in the process, that are in the process of being set apart and made holy by God through Jesus Christ, that we are continually growing in Him. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for these good words, and I pray that you would help us to examine our lives and to be careful of those that we enter into close relationships with, dear Lord. We, one, want to make good decisions on those we enter into a marriage covenant with, God. That's about as serious as it gets, that we want to make sure that we are joined with somebody that is a Christian. Dear Lord, in our relationships, our business practices, whatever it may be, I pray that you would help us to not find ourselves in trouble by being unequally yoked, dear Lord. I pray that you would just help us to be aware of the people who are having influence on our life and the people who are advising us, dear Lord. Are these Christian people or not? We need to think about these things, God. We need to remember that you call us to be your people. If we are yours, if we've trusted in Jesus Christ, then God, you don't want us to live like the world. You want us to be separate from the world. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to continue to grow in you, that you would continue to help us to be made holy in you and set apart in you, dear Lord. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.